This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow, and today we're going behind the scenes of StoryCorps, a national oral history project that documents conversations between loved ones around the country. The project has permanent recording booths in Atlanta, San Francisco, and Chicago, but there's also a recording booth that travels around the country inside of an Airstream trailer, and that trailer has just spent some time here in the Triangle, in fact, parked right outside our office at American Tobacco. Today, we're going to meet two of the people who collect stories in that mobile booth every day. They're called facilitators. Chayla Herridge-Meyer and Adriana Gallardo have been facilitating hundreds of StoryCorps interviews, and they join us today. Chayla, Adriana, welcome.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us, Frank.
Chayla, tell us exactly what a facilitator does.
So a facilitator, in this case, they go on the road with the Airstream trailer, the mobile booth, and they sit in on the interviews. They greet the participants. They bring them into the booth. They explain the process, and they get them comfortable, answer any questions, and then they do the recording. They take log notes for the archive. And then after the interview, they take some pictures.
And what you're not doing is interviewing, right?
We are not interviewing. Once in a while, the facilitator will jump in with a follow-up question. There's a question that seems like wants to be asked but isn't being asked. Or perhaps somebody's talking about their grandmother and we just want to get their name on record. So we will jump in every once in a while. And on occasion, somebody will come in alone and then we do step in and help interview.
Well, Adriana, what is it that attracted you to this idea of becoming a facilitator?
It's actually interesting because I have a unique background in the booth where I was working in radio before coming on the road. So for me, it was kind of a personal development opportunity. Mm-hmm. Get to, you know, connect with folks all over the country. We partner with NPR affiliates in all of our stops. That aspect was interesting. And these are one-year contracts that we take to be on the road. But the people in the booth come from very different professions. Myra Sierra, who's currently on the road with us, is from LA and she's a museum curator who was working with audio in museums and sort of was interning at StoryCorps, and that's how she came to the booth. Callie Thuma was a teacher before coming on the road, so that's where her background comes. And we really like to play on our strengths because we have very different skill sets, and we're also from all over the country. Callie's from Pittsburgh, I'm from Chicago, Myra's from L.A., Shayla's from Washington State. So all of those differences really help us to connect with folks.
Chayla, what about you? Do you have a background in radio, or what brought you to this?
I do. I am an independent producer. I do my own radio stories and had worked with StoryCorps doing some outreach work, so connecting with communities for some of the initiatives that we have. I worked on the GRIO initiative, working with African-American communities all over the country, and then also on the Stories initiative. And so doing that outreach work got me really excited about actually being on the road and recording interviews with people.
Well, I want to listen to some samples. You recorded an interview with two women who were close friends through their shared activism. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was Beth Messersmith and Sabina Schoenbach. They met through their activism through an organization called Moms Rising, and they became friends and colleagues through this work and came into the booth to both share their friendship and their shared passion for their work.
I was working, and I was running late, and like a lot of moms, I was multitasking, and I was dialing my phone, and I walked off of a drop-off where there weren't any rails, and I shattered my ankle, and I broke my wrist. And as someone who likes to be really independent, all of a sudden I found myself completely dependent because I was in a hospital bed in the living room. I'd had surgery. I had all these plates and pins in my ankle. I was in a wheelchair. And the moms from Moms Rising, without me asking, without even asking permission, which is awesome, organized this great like meal train. And for 3 months, there was food at my house for dinner almost every night. You know, even as a kid, I was okay being by myself, you know, doing my own thing. But motherhood is not a solo adventure. You can't survive it. It's the most amazing, wonderful journey, but it's also the hardest thing I have ever done. And it never stops. And having amazing women in my life who are role models, who are confidants, has made the last almost 9 years extra incredible.
I completely value that community, too. I don't know what I would do without it.
Beth and Sabina, a conversation recorded by StoryCorps. Two of the facilitators are with us today as the Airstream trailers left us here at American Tobacco, but had been here for a couple of weeks. Chayla, obviously people come to you, they're ready to talk. They've chosen to be there and they've paired up. Is it difficult once they sit down in front of a microphone? And what's your role as a facilitator to help people open up? Is it a hard job?
You know, people come with all different levels of nervousness. Some people were sort of drugged there by a relative who said, you know, you have to come with me. Grandma, I really want you to do this interview. Other people have been looking forward to it and planned. And we sort of try to find a way to meet them in the middle where they can sit down and have a conversation that's not scripted, but also is comfortable. So we try to make them feel comfortable from the beginning. But there's something about the space that when people sit down at that table, something changes. We call it a sacred space, and we do that because people sort of show up. They become very present, and lots of things get said, and people are surprised. And
that must be a wonderful thing too, Adriana, when you're watching this kind of moment of surprise and revelation between two people who presumably know each other. That's why they're there, right? And it's interesting, you also recorded a conversation between a mother and a son. They knew each other, they thought. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Wafiq Sarif and Adila Shabazz. Wafiq interviewed his mother. He was very curious about her life before he was born. Now, Wafiq is 34, so, you know, this sort of places you. And he wanted to know about her time in the city as a young woman and before she converted to Islam. So it was a wonderful conversation.
I would say right off the bat, what I am most interested in about you is who you were and where you came from before I came along. I'm kind of curious as to how a Southern girl like you found Islam.
I found my way to Islam because I was not really happy in New York. I was dating, I was having fun, but I was still lonely. You can be in New York and be very lonely. And I felt like I needed some spiritual guidance in my life. So I started going to different churches, trying to find a place that I would feel comfortable with. And I mean, I'm not just churches. I went to transcendental meditation. I went to Buddhist place, you know, just trying to find a place that I could feel comfortable. And I remember going to a big, huge church in New York in Harlem. And I felt so out of place. Because it was like the people were sort of highfalutin, the big hats, and no one came over to me, no one said hello. And I just said, I don't think this place is for me. So I decided I would go to Africa. It was kind of in the Back to Africa movement going on. And I didn't say to myself, I'm going to find myself, but I said, I'm going to go on this venture. And I took off. So I went over there, I went to Nigeria, and it was an awesome experience. And every image that I had of Africa, it all crumbled. And it just opened up my eyes that there's something else out of my narrow scope of things. So I was ready for something new.
Well, that's Adila and Wafiq, recorded by StoryCorps. Facilitators Chayla Herridge-Meyer and Adriana Gallardo are here to talk about what it's like to facilitate conversations like that, Adriana. I mean, it seems a little bit like Wafiq was, you know, thought this was truth or dare. I mean, this is his chance to find out things about his mom that he hadn't known before, right?
One of the most common questions in the booth that never gets old is there something you've never told me that you want to tell me here today? And we always talk about the bravery it takes on both parties to ask that and then to tell somebody that you know very well, like your mother, something you've never told her before. And often in between these questions, we also hear probably the second most common thing is, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You've never told me that before. And it might be a small detail from a story, but nevertheless, it's always a surprise to these people what they're revealing to each other.
Well, Chayla, I was interested to hear you talk about this feeling like a sacred space. What is it that you, as a facilitator, do, or what kind of mindset do you have to go into that little space with to keep that space feeling sacred to the strangers who come in every day?
You really are open to the people who come into the booth, and you learn it over and over and over again that you never know what somebody's story is until you're sitting there with them. And so you really learn to suspend any judgment. And I think that approach that we all have cultivated really makes people feel safe. I think also people knowing that this interview is going to be archived at the Library of Congress, this is a chance to honor the person that they're there with. people really take on that responsibility and are really honest with each other.
You recently recorded an interview with a man who turned his life around after some difficult experiences. Tell us about him.
So this was Randy Garcia, and he was going to be coming in with a friend, but his friend's car broke down. So I interviewed him, and Adriana over here facilitated, which sometimes happens. And Randy came to us through TROSA, Triangle Residential Options for Substance Abusers, and he had spent nearly 30 years in and out of prison in New Mexico and had come to North Carolina to be part of TROSA. And this is 15 years later, him talking with us about that.
My childhood was great, but my life started turning around drastically when I was about 12 years old because of being in the barrio, in the hood and stuff. You know, my role models, I didn't have good role models. You know, my father was a heroin addict. My uncles were heroin addicts. So I went that direction. My education, as far as the education, it went down. Stopped going to school. Put all my focus and attention into self-destruction. The first time I got arrested, my mother sent me to go get her some Tampax, a box, them huge ones. And she gave me some money, and I went into the store, and I kept the money, and I ran out the door with a box of Tampax. But I went through the wrong door. It was the door to come in, not to go out. And I hit the door, and I knocked myself out. So it was an easy bust for the police department. I was knocked out. And there's where my career started. That's where it started. And finally, my probation officer had enough of me and sent me to juvenile prison when I was 16. And there's where things really changed for me. Heroin was the beginning. Juvenile prison was the nightmare.
So what happened to Randy after that, Shayla?
So Randy was in and out of prison for a long time, nearly 30 years, and he's actually about to become a counselor through TROSA after spending 15 years with the program, gaining back his self-confidence, working, and he now has an 8-year-old daughter and is really happy here.
I'm guessing you've heard a number of stories like that. I mean, perhaps we're more willing to tell about our wasted youth when it turns out all right, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those kind of incredible stories. Yeah. It's, I think, a rare story. And that he can come out of it and talk about it so honestly with us was really an honor.
Adriana, you recorded another conversation with an 89-year-old man and his daughter. Tell us about that.
Yeah, often, you know, we get a lot of these interviews where people come to the booth to celebrate life, you know, elderly folks that have been through a lot. And that was the case with our partners here, Deloge and Lillian, his daughter. He had been a war veteran, you know, had worked through integration in the South, and was here to reflect with his daughter on his 89 years of life.
I want to close out our conversation by asking you about your singing. The other night, I said to a friend, my dad literally rises up singing every morning. And it's such a joy. Ed and I smile when you're at our house and you are singing your song in the shower. So tell me a little bit about the joy that singing brings you.
It relieves you from all stress. If you got stress in your life, and if you can wake up with a song in your mind or a song in your heart, it releases you from any kind of pressure. Whether anybody that hear it or not, you got something to sing about, something to smile about, something to be thankful for. So that's why anytime I wake up in the morning, I'm going to try to have a whistle or a song. Don't wake up with a frown on your face. It always tears you down instead of building you up.
Would you like to sing?
No. But if I could help somebody as I travel on, if I could help somebody with a prayer or song, if I could show somebody they are traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain.
Amen.
Amen.
Adriana, tell us more about that conversation.
It was one of those great ones where, you know, both were very happy with their recording. And he's celebrating 90 soon. So at his party, the folks that come are getting a copy of the CD of the 40-minute conversation that, you know, that has all the stories. So sometimes folks do really neat things with the recording. And that was an example of great use of our tape.
Great example. Lois Deloge has been on this show. She's a wonderful jazz singer in her own right. And now we know where the talent comes
from. There you go.
What is it like? I'll stick with you, Adriana. The idea of really kind of professionally listening to people's stories. What kind of impact has that had on you?
It's tremendous. We always joke that, you know, we're getting masters in theology and therapy and journalism all in one job because you learn so much about different experiences, different careers, lots of tragedy, lots of mortality, lots of joy, all often in one day during the interviews.
I can guess that. Chayla, what about you?
I have worked with StoryCorps now for long enough that I've recorded nearly 600 interviews. Wow. So it's kind of staggering to think about all of the different lives that I've been able to witness. And it definitely gives you a lot of strength when you have your own issues or are thinking about things in your own life, your own family. You sort of have this library to pull from.
Well, I wonder how much of it is sort of eavesdropping on other people's lives and to what extent you do begin to identify and, you know, break open your own self for a conversation with yourself. Does it allow you to have better conversations with yourself?
Definitely. And with each other. We often leave a day after facilitating interviews and have long conversations about the interviews that we've listened to. And then that inevitably leads us into conversations that are personal. And we absolutely are affected by these stories. And
so, Adriana, does that mean you can do this forever?
It does not mean we can do this forever. No. The longest anybody's stayed on the road was 2 years, two continuous years. It's exhausting. And then even with our schedule, we don't stay on the road longer than 3 months. Mm-hmm. We take a break every 3 months. We go to Brooklyn and do office work and work a 9-to-5 life. Because we're also living with our coworkers while on the road. That's the other part of this job. So, No.
There's a lot.
We don't do it forever.
Well, I'm glad you've done it as long as you have. Thanks so much for being on the program. Adriana Gallardo is along with Chayla Herridge-Meyer, two StoryCorps facilitators who've traveled around the country recording stories. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. It is produced by Laura Lee, Will Michaels, Megan Modafferi, and Anita Rao. Charlie Shelton's the intern, Robin Copley, the technical director, Brent Wolf is our news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.